Praise 92.7 WPZS Harrisburg. Now presenting Community Voices with Ron Holland, only on Praise 100.9 and 92.7.
And a good morning. Welcome to Community Voices. I'm your host, Ron Holland. Given the spate of police killings of unarmed black men around the country and the protests that have erupted after the grand jury decisions in both Ferguson and Staten Island, the need to know precisely what rights every American citizen has during an interaction with police is paramount information. If you've ever wanted to know what you should do when you encounter or interact with police, today's show will help clear up the fog of confusion. Joining me this morning is Rosa Garvin, president of the Charlotte chapter of the National Action Network. And of course, the National Action Network is headed up by the Reverend Al Sharpton. Also joining me is Matt Newton, lead attorney for the Charlotte chapter of the National Action Network. Matt also led the movement to reform citizen review boards in the city. Both are involved in a Know Your Rights seminar taking place this afternoon in Charlotte. Matt, Rosa, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Absolutely. I'm excited to talk to you, Matt, because we know that in recent weeks, the spate of killings by police of African Americans is dominating the headlines. And we want to make sure that we're providing information to our citizenry with regard to their rights. Talk a little bit about what you've seen as a result of these killings and, of course, your response to the protests that are happening.
Well, I think it's a positive thing that there is awareness being drawn to this issue. Mm-hmm. It's been happening for quite some time.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe it's been happening in the shadows.
Yeah.
And it's nice that we're having a national discussion about this. There needs to be a system of accountability. I don't know if the grand jury system is the right answer, and I think we've seen issues with that as well.
There's a clarion call now for the local prosecutor to be extricated from mm-hmm. that position and bringing in a special prosecutor given or in the event that a police is involved in a killing.
Yeah, to touch briefly on that particular issue too, I think what's important to note and what a lot of folks might not know is that the grand jury process is only present in just over half the states.
Mm-hmm.
Even further, the process is one that we adopted from England, and they abolished that
right.
50 years ago. We have an alternate system to find probable cause within North Carolina that our own district attorneys option out of. And so there is an appropriate recourse an appropriate alternative to the grand jury system,
mm-hmm.
one that allows additional information that is excluded or withheld from that particular process to be entered into evidence and considered, not just by a jury, but by folks that are educated within the process,
yeah.
So judges. And that's one that I think we should explore more often. We should demand that our district attorneys opt into, and maybe potentially, just like we've seen in just under half the states in the United States, maybe potentially abolish the grand jury system altogether,
yeah.
in favor of one that's a little bit more fair, a little bit more level, mm-hmm. and even-handed for defendants, mm-hmm. and protects their rights.
Yeah,
and that's when we're talking about the seminar, that's precisely what we'll be mentioning, Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights, how to effectively and calmly assert them mm-hmm. in police encounters.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, Randall Carrick, the officer that is responsible for killing Jonathan Farrell, he is going to be tried this year. And we've seen the grand jury system work in this instance, as opposed to what we've seen in Ferguson as well as Staten Island. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I want to mention cameras as well, because we've heard a lot of talk about cameras.
Yeah,
I followed the Jonathan Farrell shooting from the very moment that it happened,
mm-hmm.
and I recall with very clear recollection that the police department, although he was shot in the chest 10 times, and Officer Carrick had emptied his clip right at that particular time, all the bullets in his gun had been shot. Even though that had occurred. Initially, the police department had released a statement saying that it was a justified shooting. It wasn't until our chief of police had reviewed the videotape that they changed course and charged Officer Carrick. We have, our city is exploring equipping officers with lapel cameras, body cameras, moving forward, and I think that that's such an important thing for the protection of citizens. But let's be clear about this too, and there's no reason not to do it because it's also important for the protection of officers.
Absolutely.
Rialto, California conducted a study about 2 years ago where they equipped half their police force with body cameras. What they found was that the incidence of use of force by officers dropped. And this was just equipping half of them with body cameras. Dropped by over 60%. And at the same time, complaints against the police dropped by over 80%.
Yeah.
It's a way of ensuring transparency, a way of ensuring accountability, and the instance of an egregious act like what was instituted upon Mr. Farrell, a way of also ensuring that justice is served and bringing those folks like Carrick, you know, to justice. Initially, the grand jury, as we know, it was the first time in over 300 grand jury proceedings that they did not return with an indictment. One more reason why maybe the grand jury system is broken and we should just discard it altogether in favor of the probable cause hearings that I had mentioned before. But Officer Carrick was initially, you know, one in over 300, was initially not indicted by the grand jury.
And then the second one was impaneled.
Yeah, exactly. He was eventually indicted. Hopefully, what we'll see is we'll see the jury in this trial that's going to be upcoming this year take a stand and really have a reverberation throughout the ranks to show that if you engage in this sort of excessive force, you will be brought to justice and there will be accountability.
Absolutely. And Rosa, the black community has become increasingly mistrustful of the police. From a social activism perspective, what should police departments be doing to ensure that our rights are protected?
First of all, we need to make sure that they are trained properly in order to deal with our community and its personal issues. As far as our community is concerned, we need to know what our rights are, plain and simple, from a simple standpoint of being stopped at a traffic stop or things of that nature. The situation that we have is like when you are stopped at a traffic stop, don't get angry, number one.
Yeah.
You keep your hands on the steering wheel and wait for the officer to approach your car, and then at that point in time, he can ask for your driver's license, your registration, or your proof of insurance. But don't make any sudden moves. That's some things that I've done it before in the past. I have gotten very angry because I got pulled over because I was not speeding, and what is your problem?
And you know you were late to work.
Yeah,
you know you got up late. So
possibly, I mean, that could actually be the case. You don't need to have an attitude. I had to learn that.
You don't
have an attitude. You need to, even if they may be a jerk at that point in time.
That's right. And I think absent this discussion is our obligation that when we are interacting with police, that we are complying with their lawful stop. We have an obligation to make sure that we are respectful towards them. What are your thoughts about that?
I think we need to definitely know what our responsibilities are. And I think that sometimes it's a gray line and we may be having a bad day, but we have to know what we need to do in order to protect ourselves.
Sure.
And sometimes you can possibly be targeted and pulled over for no particular reason. You need to know what you need to do in reference to that. Sometimes you even asked to be searched. You may be sitting in a parking lot somewhere and the police come over and ask you, why are you here? And we need to search your car. And you not knowing that, you hop out of the car and you let them search it. So there are certain rules and regulations that we can follow and they have to follow as well. It's called common respect, but we need to know what to do as well as the officers. And once they realize you know exactly what's going on, you shouldn't have very much of a problem. But in case you are arrested, that's when you would need to contact an attorney and we can go in further about that. But most importantly, you need to know what your rights are.
Right. Now,
exactly.
Matt, there seems to be, or there's an appearance that some police officers are in our community, not to protect and serve, but to occupy our community. And there is the sense that they are exerting control as opposed to serving. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, that's the whole point of oversight and accountability. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we as citizens should outright trust the police to police themselves. Mm-hmm. Just like any other agency, particularly ones with skill and training that should be held to a higher standard, there needs to be an outside body outside of the department itself. And we need to ensure that we have bodies like citizens review boards, mm-hmm. maybe independent review as well through our court system with attorneys that are provided where people might not otherwise be able to afford them, mm-hmm. to ensure that we have a check and balance to avoid any misconduct that can occur.
Yeah, one of the things that really frustrated me as all of this began to unfold is this conversation, and I want both of you to answer this question, this conversation that Black parents are required to have with their sons. And it, for me, it's frustrating because I'm always looking for parity and equity, and it appears that the white community, at least in terms of this being a priority conversation, they're not having to have this conversation. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I think it's great that the awareness that is being permeated by the protest, mm-hmm. in cities like New York and Ferguson, Berkeley, California, is bringing it to the doorstep of white America. Really opening their eyes to the reality of a situation that I believe the African American community has known for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, I think that it's something that hopefully folks can work together and find common grounds to ensure that this doesn't happen to anyone.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to be talking about, and granted, I want to touch on what Rosa had said a second ago about the discussion we'll be having later on today. We're going to be talking about ways to effectively and as I had mentioned, calmly assert your rights. It doesn't mean that you will not be subject to any misconduct, though. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the king of the street is the officer that you interact with at that particular time that you do, you encounter him or her. And so what you want to do is you want to know what your rights are so you can assert them in a fashion where if you do end up in court, your attorney can protect you. Mm-hmm. And that's what we'll be talking about. I do think that there's a certain level of responsibility that officers need to take for themselves as well, particularly if they are aware of misconduct that another officer is engaging in.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not fair, right? It's not fair to attack the individuals who have those conversations with their children because an officer is scared for his own safety, mm-hmm. as it were. I think that we need to have a real conversation amongst ourselves in the community, mm-hmm. and realize that officers with proper training, right, and with the proper vetting process are undertaking a job that's inherent with those types of dangers.
Right.
So accept the responsibility.
Yeah.
And there should not be excuses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's go through some of the steps that we can take when we're stopped by the police. Can we refuse to be searched, our person as well as our vehicle?
We can. However, if the police have probable cause, mm-hmm. probable cause meaning if they smell alcohol or something else in your car, they can absolutely search you, mm-hmm. without your permission. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. if you request that they do not search, they will have to abide to that unless they have probable cause.
Now, are they required to call a supervisor at that moment when they are about to search your vehicle, or can the citizen request a supervisor to be present?
Citizen can request a supervisor to be present. It doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen, and there's no requirement that occur. Initially, our Constitution, the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, requires that the police obtain a warrant before any search is conducted. There are issues or there are exceptions to the general rule. One of those being in the case of a stopped vehicle, probable cause that there is illegal or illicit instrumentalities or conduct with inside the vehicle that does not necessarily extend to the trunk or passenger or compartment areas of the vehicle unless there's independent probable cause for those.
Right.
But you should always, as a matter of protecting yourself, you should always, and these are the magic words, tell the police officer, and they should respect this, tell the police officer that you do not consent to searches.
Mm-hmm.
If you consent, then all bets are off. The officers can search whatever and wherever they want within the scope of that consent. And so once again, magic words, I do not consent to searches.
Okay. Now, you know, the social networking platforms, Facebook and Twitter, are replete with video footage of police interaction with young men in our community. Some of those interactions are negative, and even some police officers are objecting to being filmed. Do we have a right to film police, even with their objections?
At this point in time, in certain states, you can. In certain states, it has become illegal to do so.
Illinois, for instance.
Yes, exactly. But here in North Carolina, you are still able to do that.
If police interfere with the filming, what is the remedy if we can't capture that negative interaction?
Well, the remedy would be complaining, a complaint lodged with Internal Affairs. This is a single consent state, meaning that only one party to the taping needs to consent to it. If you're the person taping, I'm assuming you've consented to it. So that being the case, you have the right to do so. And if there is any interference with that, particularly a police officer interfering, then what you would do is you would go to Internal Affairs. The Citizens Review Board process is one where if the Internal Affairs decision isn't to your liking, you have the opportunity to then appeal to a group of independent citizens. And that is so important in you know what we fought for to establish last year. And hopefully that is also a system where certain measures of justice can be accomplished.
There was a video of a couple rushing to the hospital to see a dying parent. And of course, we all know that video where the officer was demanding that the passenger exit the vehicle. And we saw the result of that. Can we refuse to exit our vehicles for a police search?
The police, right off the bat, have the right to ask you to exit a vehicle. And so from that standpoint, the law doesn't allow you to refuse. And if that's the case, now the question then is what force can an officer use to, you know, get you out of the vehicle? That is one that at this point is subject to interpretation. Unfortunately, it's been my experience in court that there is a allowable force to pull someone out of the vehicle if that happens. Now, whether or not that's something constitutional will have to be addressed in the near future.
In the instance of a citizen complying with the officer's demand, but there's still some physical and verbal abuse by the officer, what are our options, particularly 2 o'clock in the morning? What do we do? What are we required to do at that moment?
Well, if you feel like you have been threatened or been treated unfairly, you really need to get the badge number of the officer, get the officer's name, and then you file a formal complaint.
In the case of Eric Garner, he did not want to be physically touched by the police. What are our options at that point? Do we have a right to refuse to be touched or even physically handled?
Technically, you have the right. Now, in practice, it might be a different thing entirely, right? You may lose your life. What really intrigues me about Eric Gardner's case is that was an instance where the officer, due to the severity of the charge, which was, not very severe, the officer, all he needed to do was write a citation. There was no reason to take Mr. Gardner into custody. And, of course, now we've seen, you know, the consequence of that. The fact is that at any given time, and it is also, I think, extremely important that that was caught on film, right? But at any given point in time, the officer, unfortunately, is in control of the situation. And there isn't a whole lot, aside from calmly asserting your rights, right, your 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendment rights, that you can do. And I think that we have to come to kind of a reckoning with the fact that in any interaction with an officer, you can and might be taken into custody and arrested. That is not necessarily that is not the time, though, to make the arguments and defend yourself from that particular arrest. Assert your rights, but understand that in so doing you may still be arrested, and your opportunity to challenge that arrest comes later, unfortunately, later in court.
And then you also keep in mind, too, if you argue, those things can actually be used against you in a court of law. So you have to keep that in mind.
I do think, you know, personally, I mean, relinquishing control to someone isn't, you know, there's inherent issues with that in general. But if you are innocent and you want to plead your case, and then you have someone who is exerting control and they're not hearing you, and then, of course, you want to exercise your rights, all of that is a recipe for some very negative interaction here.
And that's true. However, you have to learn the old adage is study to be quiet.
Yeah.
And keep your peace until you get into the court of law. And then at that point in time, you let them know what's going on and let your attorney know and the judge, obviously.
Yeah.
But the more you speak, the more they can use it against you.
Mm-hmm. Know Your Rights seminar. Talk a little bit about what you hope to accomplish with the seminar.
Basically, with this particular seminar, we want to make sure that the community is educated on exactly knowing what some of their rights are in case for stops. If they come in your home, want to enter your home without a search warrant, what you need to do. Just basically giving our community an opportunity to know about their rights and what they should do and what they shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. It's important that we are protected. Again, we have to know what to do in order to know how we're going to handle that. So that's what we're in the process of educating our folks in reference to that.
And the seminar is taking place where?
This seminar is going to be taking place at Latiba Collard Green Museum from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And Latiba Collard Green Museum is located at 720 Tuckasegee Road, and that is in the city of Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And we are really excited about it. Another thing I want to bring up too,
Yeah, we had about 2 minutes
two
left.
2 minutes left.
Yeah.
Also, another thing, make sure if you are stopped by the police or if you're out with a group of folks, this is especially true for young people, try not to run from the police.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing. Don't run.
Yeah.
Do not run. So I just wanted to share that with you. But we're looking forward to everybody that's coming out today. I think it's going to be informative. Even if you think you know everything, you don't. Trust
that's,
me.
That's
you can
true.
Learn a lot, whether
that's
you're young
true.
Or old.
Because I'm sorry to interrupt, because, Matt, I always wanted to know, are we constitutionally permitted to use foul language in our interaction with police?
Well, the First Amendment, so long as it's not to incite violence, the First Amendment does protect that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't recommend it, though, because the fact of the matter is once again, the king of the street at the moment in time that you interact with an officer is the officer. And we have a very limited expungement process within the state of North Carolina, and I think that is, in my opinion, one of the greater threats in any interaction with a police officer. You want to assert your rights in a fashion where maybe the interaction ends right then and there, but also understand that you're also subject, irrespective of whether you've asserted all of your rights correctly, irrespective of whether or not you actually broke the law, you're still subject to be arrested and charged.
Mm-hmm.
And that charge, you know, your opportunity to defend yourself happens in court. That charge may be dismissed, but we have seen instances where folks have been targeted and you only get one expungement.
Mm-hmm.
In limited circumstances, maybe more, but the general rule is one expungement for your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you get charged numerous times by the same officer or by multiple officers in the same precinct and those charges are eventually dismissed, but you can't expunge them all?
Right.
Now you're subject to forms of discrimination within the workplace, within housing, within education. Your possibilities or your prospects become limited. And so there are a number of different ways or angles to attack the issues that we face. We are going to be addressing one of the major angles, and that is your Fourth and Fifth and Sixth Amendment rights in the interaction process to protect yourself initially.
Okay. Well, we have to wrap up the show. Just one quick question, Matt, real quick. Do you think, and honestly, do you think that police officers on the street are intimately familiar with our constitutional rights?
I don't know. Understand this, even the nicest officer will use your mistakes against you.
Right.
And so, for the most part, they are trained to know constitutional rights. And for the most part, they do understand it. Whether or not they understand all the intricacies, those are the types of arguments we have in court where the attorneys get involved. But even still, when they do, it's not their job to tell you what they are.
Right.
It's unfortunately, under our system of laws, your job to know what they are and to calmly and efficiently assert them. Mm-hmm. And so that's precisely what we'll be explaining to folks who want to show up this afternoon.
Right.
Absolutely.
Know Your Rights seminar. One more time, the address?
The address is 720 Tuckasegee Road. It's going to be held at Latiba Collard Green Museum.
Rosa, Matt, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. We'll be back in a moment.
And welcome back to Community Voices. I'm your host, Ron Holland. I want to again thank Rosa Garvin, president of the Charlotte chapter of the National Action Network, and attorney Matthew D. Newton for sharing very important information with regards to our rights during an encounter and interaction with police. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Today's show is also available on our Praise Charlotte and Old School 105.3 website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.
Thank you for listening to Community Voices with Ron Holland. For more information, log on to praisecharlotte.com.